Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our first Lenten meditation is recorded in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We read in the first chapter, beginning at verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear friends, the general theme that I've chosen for our Lenten sermons is we preach Christ crucified. Christ crucified is simply the word of the cross. The message of the cross of Jesus Christ is the chosen, ordained plan for our salvation. The cross is the crowning point of self-renunciation on the part of our Savior on our behalf. The Apostle Paul mentions later in this letter, I have resolved to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. It is this word of the cross, this message of Christ crucified, that Paul alone shared with the people around him. This is the word of the cross that we also trust and share with others. For Paul and for us, when we share the message of the cross, there are two reactions. For those who are being saved, this knowledge that God has become a human being and bore our sins in his body on the cross, and the righteousness that he has under the law is thereby imputed to us by the Father, is not foolishness or nonsense at all. It is the wisdom of God. It's the wise way God chose to redeem us. It is the power of God that creates our saving faith and endows us with the forgiveness of sins and eternal salvation in heaven that come along with that faith. On the other hand, for those who are perishing, for those who are headed for the ruin of eternal damnation, so long as they do not believe, all this business of God becoming flesh, of being our substitute, of being the only way, truth, and the life, is nothing but foolishness. It's nothing but nonsense. The Holy Spirit has enlightened us. It is because of that work of giving us that faith that you and I see and hear the word of the cross as the wisdom of God and as the power of God. He has enabled us to recognize God's plan of salvation, even though it is so far beyond our human reason, so beyond our human understanding, and yet we trust in it. We admit that without the Spirit's enlightenment, we too would still think that the word of the cross, that the message of Christ crucified, is nothing but foolishness. The message of Christ, the word of the cross, our Savior's passion, Lent, is a stumbling block to those who always demand from God sign after sign to prove himself to them. It is a stumbling block. It is foolishness to those who, in their human wisdom and human intelligence, believe that they must be able to grasp every means and every purpose of everything that happens. They just have to understand it. And if it's beyond understanding, then it's nonsense. God has called us, the Holy Spirit has called us by his grace to see things differently. For us, Christ crucified is a plan of God that is greater than any human plan could ever be. It enables us to see and to understand that when God acts, even in the weakness, the weakest thing of his power, that is much more powerful, that is infinitely more powerful than any power of human beings. The message of Christ crucified is for us the power and the wisdom of God. Remember when your parents said to you, just stop that foolishness. Stop that nonsense. What is foolishness? What is nonsense? Well, it's something that it doesn't make any sense, right? It's something that not only isn't intelligent, but probably just downright stupid. It doesn't really advance you. It doesn't advance anything. It just makes you look silly. It just puts you in a ridiculous position. It contradicts rational thought, not to mention good sense. In the Bible's definition, foolishness also includes evil and something that proceeds from depravity. Several of the players in the drama of our Lord Jesus' passion looked upon this message of the cross, Christ crucified, as just such foolishness, as just such nonsense. It was beyond reason. It didn't make any sense. It wasn't something they could explain, so it couldn't be true. Think of Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, or Caiaphas, the high priest, or Herod, the puppet ruler for the Romans. When they heard what Jesus claimed, when they saw what Jesus did, what he carried out, and didn't give up, even to his dying on the cross, for them, it was just foolishness. They thought that they knew better than what God had planned. They thought in their intelligence and in their thinking and in their desire for things that everything Jesus said, everything Jesus did, everything that they saw and heard didn't make sense, And it was just silliness. It wasn't anything that really would be important to them or anything that they would need to rely on. And as a result, they are part of that group about which the Apostle Paul asks the rhetorical questions. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? The answer is, they're nowhere. They're long gone. God has relegated them and their false opinions and their belief that the cross and Christ crucified is foolishness to the dustbins of history. Let's take a brief moment this morning, or this evening, and look at those three men as an example of what Paul is writing about in 1 Corinthians. Pontius Pilate was a smart guy. He was a wise man in the sense that he was a savvy politician. And yet, standing before him was the King of the universe, who made that rightful claim. Pilate didn't really believe him. Pilate looked at this prisoner and thought, what foolishness that this man and these Jews would claim that he's their king. And on top of that, this prisoner, bleeding, beaten, barely dressed, this prisoner claimed that there is absolute truth and that he's it. And if you believe in the truth, you believe in him. What nonsense. What foolishness was this prisoner trying to speak and get across? So instead of looking at Jesus as the power and wisdom of God for his salvation, Pilate asks that famous question in Latin, quid est veritas? What is truth? Then it was Caiaphas, the high priest, when he confronted Jesus of Nazareth and asked him who he was and asked, are you the Son of God? Jesus said, yes. And the next time you see me, I'm going to be coming on the clouds of heaven. What foolishness. What silliness and nonsense that this teacher would go around telling people that he was the Messiah. That he was going to deliver Israel. They really hadn't seen Jesus exhibit any particular concern for the fact that Israel was under the heavy thumb of the Romans. There really had been nothing that they knew about Jesus that had shown any great interest in social justice or in making this world a better place to restore Israel back to the glorious days of the Davidic kingdom. This was just foolishness, these claims that this man was making to be the Messiah, to be the Son of God. And so the best that Caiaphas could come up with in his wisdom was that if they would turn Jesus over to the Romans, then the Romans would look favorably on them. And that would get them on the Romans' good side. Caiaphas, in his foolishness, completely missed the real meaning and the real result of the very words that he spoke about Jesus. When he said, you do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish. Indeed, wasn't it better that one man, and that was the only way it could be, that one man could die for all of us, for all the people, rather than that we would all perish in our sins. But Caiaphas missed that as the power of God and as the wisdom of God. He missed Christ crucified, the word of the cross, as those things. And finally, there was Herod. Herod was a puppet ruler. He's only pretty much able to do what the Romans let him do. He had never met Jesus. And he really wanted to meet Jesus because he'd heard about all the miracles that Jesus had done. And so he was looking forward to meeting Jesus and having Jesus do a miracle for him. Sort of a trick that he could see what he had heard about. But Herod was really not interested. And in his foolishness, he missed why Jesus did miracles. Jesus did miracles as God and man to show his authority, to reveal his true nature and his true power, to show that he also had the power to forgive sins. Herod was only looking for the outward results, and maybe if he got lucky, a personal benefit of some miracle that Jesus would do. He missed completely the miracle of Jesus manifesting himself as God, crucified on the cross, who would redeem us from our sins. Jesus remained silent before Herod because he didn't want to give any credence or encouragement to his foolishness. You and I are not exempt, are we, from those very kinds of thinking? Don't we ever sometimes sort of wonder, is it really the truth that Jesus is God and that he has paid for all sins on the cross? You know, I'm feeling pretty guilty. My sin's pretty big and it's bothering me, or they're very many and they're bothering me. Is it really the truth that Jesus is my Savior and that by believing that truth, I am redeemed? Yes, it is the truth. It's absolutely the truth. It's not foolishness. It's not nonsense. It's the power of God and the wisdom of God that has redeemed us. We're tempted at times to go along with the rest of the world and begin to think of Jesus as nothing but a social activist, maybe even an immigrant who went around doing good and helping other people, who was the prime example of love. Jesus is the prime example of love. Jesus is the one who shows us what love is, but he's much, much more than that. And so we don't want to fall into the temptation of thinking that Jesus is just a great teacher, that he's someone who wants us to make this world a better place, to establish some kind of perfect earthly kingdom that will be just right so that he can finally return and rule over that kingdom. Or have we ever acted like Herod and said, Jesus, I need you to see another miracle for me to believe in you. You really need to show me something because I'm just not sure that you're really there for me. Even after God has done miracle after miracle, has given us blessing after blessing every day in our lives, even when we don't deserve it. For us, whom the Holy Spirit has called to faith, Christ crucified is the message that comforts our hearts and strengthens our faith in the midst of all those struggles and temptations and sins. The word of the cross for us in those times is no stumbling block on the way to God. It's not some wisdom that we have to be able to understand every means by which God's going to do his purpose to understand every purpose in our lives, but rather we put ourselves under His wisdom. We place ourselves under His power. We look to the word of the cross, to the message that we preach. We preach Christ crucified, which for us includes His coming back to life in the grave, His rising from the dead and ascending into heaven in triumph over all our enemies. The Apostle Paul's words come to mind here to the Romans. Who will bring any charge against those God has chosen? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Like Jesus, you and I have to face almost every day and maybe be confronted by people who think that what we believe, that what we trust, what we rely on is nonsense, that it's foolishness, that because it's beyond reason, it just can't be true. But then that's part of our suffering with Jesus, as we heard. Part of our sufferings along with Him so that we can enjoy glory along with Him. And when those opportunities come, grasp them. Make use of them like Jesus did to share Christ crucified with those people, to share the word of the cross in which the Holy Spirit works to bring people to faith, to give them the forgiveness of sins in their trust in Christ, and to enjoy eternal life in heaven. Grasp those opportunities, because it is in those opportunities that the Holy Spirit will do for them what He's done for us. He will take what they think is foolishness and nonsense and enable them to see that Christ crucified, that the word of the cross is not that, but it is the power of God. And it is the wisdom of God for our salvation. Amen.